Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Turn Armstrong, and I'm here tonight to talk through this Wednesday night, April 20th episode of Big Brother Canada 10. And what an episode this was. Oh, boy. This is, I have not seen this quality of episode in quite a long time, personally. That is my opinion here. I'm very excited to talk through it all with my guest tonight, Mary. How you doing, Mary?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to talk about an episode. I love covering the live feeds, but boy, is it fun to just see the way that they created this thing that we watched. I mean, everything really was just hitting tonight. You know, the diary rooms were great. The segments were great. No particular thing did I feel like lasted for too long. I enjoyed all of it.
It was truly a night of destiny.
Destiny, 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 destiny.
Wow, what a night of Big Brother. I tweeted it out after the episode ended. This is peak Big Brother. This is top tier stuff that we're getting. A packed episode where pretty much every segment of this episode fires on all cylinders and hits just right. I mean, obviously the content was there, and unlike other seasons of Big Brother Canada, the edit did not disappoint us. The edit not only showed what happened, it enhanced what happened in some areas. So, man, this was a lot of fun, and I can't wait to get through it all here. Of course, we picked up where we left off as Josh and Betty were nominated. Betty, three times on the block, all three times by Marty.
Yeah. And this is just, there were so many parts during this episode where I was thinking, this is foreshadowing. This is like, if this was scripted, they could not have scripted it better. And Betty being put on the block by Marty three times, and then everything that happens with the veto, just chef's kiss. Great. Great for Betty.
Yes. We also, I even liked in the sort of the previously on, as we get the sort of the teasers for what's going to happen, seeing Kevin like walking out the doors as the announcer goes, oh, that didn't work. Hold on. Sometimes there's a glitch in the matrix here.
Another moose is on the loose.
They put a moose curse.
The moose curse is upon you.
On my soundboard. but another moose is on the loose in this episode. We're gonna get some mooses. It's gonna be great.
Some meese on the lease.
Release some meese.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. we also got this laugh from Kevin.
Kevin is like, where is the line between real Kevin and cartoon character Kevin, where Kevin knows that, I mean, Kevin is a cartoon villain, right?
I mean, I think that's Kevin. I think Kevin, yeah, he exists as, he's like one of those, cartoons where it's like real life, but there's a cartoon in the real life shot. You know what I mean?
Like, what's that? In Roger Rabbit?
Roger Rabbit or something?
You go with the Roger Rabbit reference.
Who framed Roger Rabbit, yeah.
Lizzie McGuire. Same thing. It's totally the same.
Definitely the same thing. I didn't know they did that in Lizzie McGuire.
Sort of, yeah. Kevin is like a mix between like Dexter from Dexter's Laboratory and
Dexter, then, like, from Dexter.
And Dexter from Dexter. Sure. Yeah.
He's a mix of all the Dexters.
Of all the Dexters. Especially with all the blood and guts in this episode.
Yes, truly. So
very blood heavy back-to-back episodes of TV tonight.
Yeah. There were lots of blood, lots of showing what color thing you have in your hand. Mm-hmm. Lots of it going on here.
Lots of red.
Luckily it's not boring.
It's boring.
No, it's not, Kevin. Stop.
No, it's not. It's not Kevin.
But the way this works, though, is that with Summer and Betty on the block with Josh and Betty on the block and Summer having safety, if one of them wins the veto, Marty will have to put up somebody from his dumb alliance.
This is a dumb alliance.
From his dumb alliance. I love the explanation. Kevin says it's two duos and Marty. So Marty is the only one committed to this alliance.
He's the only one that takes it seriously. And so part of the thing I liked about this is that they didn't really waste time here in the first portion of the episode. We set up the stakes and then we went right to the veto competition, which was a great veto competition. I mean, as always, I feel like these veto competitions, the competitions in general, tend to go a little long. This one worked for me. Just various aspects of it were funny, touching, and intense as we get a great result. So the length actually felt justified here. And as Jace said,
this POV could have grave consequences.
More than you know, Jace. More than you know.
Taryn, before you started doing soundboard clips, did you enjoy the little puns or did you get annoyed by them? And are you just loving them more now because you get to reuse them?
I honestly can't bring myself to the mental headspace where the soundboard didn't exist. That world is dead to me.
Okay, great. I love this competition. Do you have Summer's quote of this competition being spooky, ooky, ooky?
I don't.
Darn.
Can only get so much.
Yeah. Well, they're going to enjoy their time in hell and lie in the coffin. This is the guess closest to 100 minutes competition. And have you ever tried this? Like, have you ever tested yourself to see? I know a lot of people will test it with like 5 minutes, but like, if you've ever tried going for 60, guessing that?
I don't think so. It doesn't sound like something I would want to do, but at the same time, it does sound like something I might have done.
Yeah.
But it was pre-soundboard, so I don't remember.
Yeah. Sometimes if I'm driving really far, I'll do something where I won't look at the dash or the mile signs. And then I'll say, like, I'm going to guess when it's been 10 miles and see how close I can get to that kind of thing.
What I do often is without counting, I will just be like, I bet it's been an hour. And then usually I'm pretty close. So maybe not counting is better.
I think that's probably a good bet. Now, how Betty pulls this off, I don't know, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So, yeah, the lightning and thunder sounds, they're whatever, although that's making Betty a little nervous. And then we get the presumably cold water and then the blood-colored water.
Yes.
Does that make it worse?
I don't think so, but I mean, here's the thing, right? One key element of this that we haven't touched on yet is that when you buzz in, you give your you lock in your time. Nobody else knows that you've buzzed in, and you can stay in the coffin for as long as you want to pretend that you haven't buzzed in yet. That's huge because the dominant strategy in this competition, especially as a veto competition, is the second the person you don't want to win the competition buzzes in, you buzz in immediately after them. And that completely limits their win potential to they were either early and they are screwed. You've beaten them 100%, or they're late and they just beat you. So if you have somebody else, you know, you basically can just dedicate one person to don't even need to count. Just immediately buzz in after this person, and it tanks their win chances in half, basically. So the fact that you aren't able to do that is huge here in this competition. Not that there was anybody that was like really desperate to prevent anybody from winning in this competition, but that's an essential rule change. I love the competition. That was kind of a hack to the competition. I love that they've removed it, and this is something that anybody can win. And there's no way around those little bits of extra cheesiness now.
It's nice that you bring up the reason why people can game it to prevent someone they don't want from winning to win, where Summer also doesn't get out of the coffin early because she doesn't want Betty to second guess herself and buzz just because she did as well.
Boy, did she regret that.
Yeah. So,
Summer buzzes in way early, almost as though she thought it was an hour and not 100 minutes, because she got 59 minutes, which would have been great if it was an hour. But maybe then she would have buzzed in at 31 minutes or something. She buzzes in way early. And I think if I'm Summer, I know for sure that I have lost this competition when the coloring comes into the water. And it's like, oh, there was more stuff. Because of course there's more stuff. You're definitely early if the only thing that they've done to you so far is water. Have you not watched this competition before?
That's what I said instantly. I was like, even if this was my first time doing a competition, I've got to assume that this is a competition with stages of torture. So you always want to wait until there's at least been like three things, if not more than three.
Oh, man. Water. What hell?
Well, I mean, first they had the thunder and lightning, which was terrifying. So the water was the second thing.
I loved everybody had their own unique reaction to all of the things that were happening. Kevin was like giggling. Like he was scared of everything. Like when the water came, he was like, ah! And then he would be like, this is amazing. But every time something else happened, he'd be like, oh my God. This is amazing. And then Josh was just like, oh my God. And Betty was like, ah, but then sometimes laughing at Josh. And Gino just the whole time was just like,
I'm definitely a lover boy.
No Gino worries. Gave some really creepy smiles during it. I'm like, as if he was just reveling in the whole concept of everything. That was a little bit much. But yeah, Betty, Josh, and Summer definitely seemed to be, I mean, they were sobbing at times.
Yeah, well, so Summer is going to continue to stay in the coffin until the bugs come out. And then she's like, oh, nah, I'm out. I'm good. I'm good with that.
Oh, God, it's so disgusting.
So Betty is going to like be shaking all the bugs off her and pushing them to the side. And then some people, mostly Kevin and Josh and especially Gino, just sort of keep them there. Like, I feel like I would move them. I don't want them to just like they're all on your stomach.
I think I would also keep them there because I feel like if I tried to keep myself clean of the bugs, then every individual bug that crawled back on me would be like, ah, no, stop it. I'd be in a constant struggle to keep them off. It would totally throw off my count. If I have a bunch of bugs on me, then it's just like, all right, I've accepted it. I'm lying in bugs. The bugs are on me. Like, I'm just going to keep my count. You know what I mean?
I guess that's fair. But I also feel like I think this challenge is so difficult to count that unless you are really confident in your counting ability, and we always see people who are really confident in their counting ability get like 30 minutes off. Yeah. So unless you're really confident in that, I would just be bored most of the time. And so I'd be trying to do anything to like distract myself. And maybe that would be a good distraction.
Maybe.
Waging my individual war against the mealworms.
I have a bunch of sound clips from this challenge because I was literally making myself crying, laughing, while I was watching this episode, playing these back to myself. We've got, I played this.
Oh, God, it's so disgusting.
We got,
reading me alive.
It's Josh.
Reading me alive.
And then we've got I wasn't sure if this one was appropriate. I didn't know if it was safe for the podcast, but I decided it was too funny.
Oh, they're in my pants.
It's the laugh afterward on that one.
Oh, they're in my pants.
And then another one from Josh.
Underneath my back.
Oh! Who did the oh at the end?
Josh.
Underneath my back. Underneath my back.
Oh! Oh, man. It's too much.
Can you, at the end of the season, can you make, like, a remix song with just all the lyrics being sound clips and then some sort of beat in the background? Maybe the Squid Games music from the beginning? Yeah.
Maybe I can release the soundboard to some people and they can create something good, because I would not be good at it.
I think there's a winner in there. I think there's something really good happening.
I think so. I think
maybe
so.
Just all the laughs. I feel like you could do a lot with
it. Underneath my back.
Okay. So they all buzz in. They're all confident.
This is going to be important for later, but they give voicemails also.
Like, oh, yes, of course. Ones. How could I forget? Because that happened before the bugs. This was one of my favorite parts. We get some voicemails, and Betty got one from her significant other, and he said,
"And you need to release Business B for the last half of this game.
This is Business B. Let's get it.
Wow,
bringing in the Business B.
It's destiny. Yeah,
it's destiny. That's all she needed.
I ask for Business B, and that's what you shall receive.
That's it. Now I am wondering, is Business B like a thing in her life? Because remember, Business B showed up, I believe, in the B competition. And I thought it was designed specifically for the B competition. But Business B is now being referred to by her partner. Is Business B a thing in her life? Or does her partner love this quote as much as I do?
This is Business B. Let's get it.
And she's like, what are you talking about? Business B. When did I say that?
Do you think that Betty has like multiple versions? Like, just imagine walking down one day and being like, you know what? Today it's Business B. This is what's happening. Yeah. And the next day you'd be like, today is Party B. Today is whatever.
Petty Betty.
Today's exactly. Petty Betty. Next day's Business B. And then, you know, on finale night, she's going to be, can't do it. Got nothing.
On finale night, she'll be the final, nothing rhymes with Betty.
I know. Winner, vote getter, $100,000. I got not champion. Nope. Oh, well, maybe that's a bad sign. No. Business B is going to get it. She's going to get it.
Business B is great.
All right. Well, this season, not only have we had a lot of veto winners, but we've had a lot of great veto celebrations.
Oh, yes.
Because of the veto winners. The classic Moose.
Power of veto, baby!
Check.
Check. You try to put me on the block.
We're not going to play the whole thing this time. We've got the Marty.
This is one happy elf.
Whoa!
Yes!
We even got Helena doing the regular schmegular. And I actually can't find. Oh, here it is.
I just went to fire Vito, the best club ever.
But now we have a new entry into the veto celebrations. It's Betty.
Oh my God, yes!
Yes!
No, I'm not going anywhere, Marty! No, I'm not! Yes! Oh,
yes! I'm not going anywhere, Marty!
Oh boy. And then she goes on.
I'm not going anywhere, Marty. Take that.
She goes on.
Woo! Take that, Marty! Yes! Yourself a new target. Yes. I am not going home this week. And take this to all the people that got evicted and called me weak. Look at this now. Oh, yes.
That's wild.
Look at this now.
Yeah, don't call her weak. She was, you know, doing great down in there in the grave with all
Business
the bugs.
This is why I liked the competition. I didn't even mind that it was long because it has a great conclusion. From Betty being so upset when Marty won, to being nominated, to winning this competition, throwing it in Marty's face, the great celebration. It's big time. This is it's a great moment.
How did Betty get that close, though? Like, was that just random luck? I mean, that's amazing. The odds.
I think anybody that wins this comp has a decent amount of luck involved here, because nobody is fully able to keep their count through everything, right? So there's always going to be like kind of thrown in adjustments, estimates, stuff like that. She even said, like, she got out, she said, I just couldn't handle the bugs anymore. So she might have even gotten out a little bit earlier than she might have wanted. But at the end of the day, 42 seconds. That's it's very close. 100 minutes is a lot of seconds. So being 42 away, I wonder, can we do the math on that? Like how close is that in terms of like overall amount of seconds?
Well, 100 minutes is 6,000 seconds.
So 0.007. So like 0.7% off.
What math are you trying to get to that?
The 42%.
Oh yes, 0.007 is how many 42s there are in a 6,000.
Yeah.
So no, you know that's what 1/42 of 6,000.
are we really good at math?
We're really great.
I hope so.
25 hours per day, and there's 4 days per 100 hour.
Oh my gosh. You know what? Sometimes it's really hard to do math. I was trying to do math the other day, and I was thinking that there were 10 something. It was something where there was 12, but I thought it was 10, or the other way around. You know, math doesn't make any sense. It's okay.
It's all right. So Betty wins the competition, and there it is. There's going to have to be a replacement nominee. In the meantime, Kevin has a secret.
This is a secret.
I'm so glad they kept that.
The moose is loose again. I just love that. I really was expecting Kevin to just say, this is a secret, and then look up at the camera and go, So great. The deadpan reading of the card.
It's great. We get some Marsha the Moose. Marsha throws some shade at Kevin for being 25 minutes over.
I don't remember Marsha always being like a mounted moose head.
Yeah.
Really?
Did you picture Marsha the Moose as like a whole moose?
Yeah. I don't know why. I was like, this seems a little gruesome this time around. I'm not sure why it seemed different.
I mean, I know Marsha's initial appearance was a mounted head. It's possible that Marsha showed up as a full moose once.
I feel like
Marsha's always been a head.
Okay, maybe not. Look, I'm not the person to ask. But yeah, Marsha's there behind door 11, and he gets his task where he has to convince the other house guests that he's self-evicting.
Yes. And there's some great stuff here. Now, obviously, there's a lot of content for this episode, so we are really cruising through this task. I do think we missed some of the better moments. We definitely, obviously, we caught the end bit, which was the best bit. But I do think there were some things that we missed. We caught like a little bit of Josh and Kevin talking about the bag, where Josh was like, give me your bag. And Kevin was like, no, I'm bringing my bag with me. We also, we missed, Kevin starting the conversation with Summer saying, when I walked in here and I saw you, you had such infectious energy. I was really drawn to it. Summer's like, okay. And he was like, I'm not about to say that I love you, or anything. Like, that's the face that you're making.
I'm so sad we missed that one, but yeah, Summer mostly we get the clip that she thinks he's joking. you know, he's repeating his main lines here, which are he's leaving after hearing Jillian, his fake wife, real partner in the competition. And everything was clear after he heard her voice. And also, he's doing this to protect the other people in the five so they don't have to be renommed.
Yes. And so we do get the great moment of Marty not letting Kevin leave the HOH room. Kevin be like, all right, I'll sit back down. We'll talk. What have you got over there? And then running out the door.
That's so great.
For me, it's the shuffle as well. Because he's still like carrying some stuff. It's great.
It's like little quick steps. And I can't remember exactly what it was, but Marty said something as he ran out, like, oh, Kevin, he's fast. It was something like that.
something that you miss in the episode is that Marty, and you actually see him turning to the camera in the shot in the episode, but he immediately turned to the camera and was like, well, he just made my decision so much easier, in terms of the renom. And so that was great. We also miss Helena, the conversation with Helena. She literally gets on her knees and grabs his leg and says, I'm not letting you go, Kevin. I don't know why we needed to miss that. And we got like Jace instead. Like, oh, we didn't need Jace.
Yeah, we didn't need the Jace one. But we did need the Josh crying, and we did need the romantic moment with Gino. Yes. Actually, a really sweet moment with Gino, where Gino goes into the diary room and is like, hey, is everything okay with Kevin? Because he just came to me and he's really distraught. And the diary room said something like, keep an eye on him or something.
We'll monitor the situation.
We'll monitor the situation.
And Gino says, okay.
Yeah, I'll monitor it too.
Yeah, this is actually really sweet.
It is sweet.
Genuinely concerned about him, and Josh is just still crying. Betty is like, Josh is like, if he tries to self-evict, I'm gonna evict her first. And then Betty's like, why are we all trying to self-evict?
Yeah. And of course it all culminates with
Kevin, don't do it.
Kevin.
It's like in Titanic when she's like, Jack, come back, Jack. That's what
exactly like. Exactly. And getting to see like the proper angle on Josh's face as Kevin is like about to look out the door, like, no, Kevin. And then to see his face also like go from like to when Kevin goes, just kidding. He's like, you see the relief like wash down.
But I feel like most people, or maybe not most, but there were definitely a few people who were like, oh, okay, haha, that makes sense. It was a Marsha Moose task. Great. With Josh, it like takes a second. Like he feels the relief and then he's kind of like upset and still sad. And like it takes him a minute to believe it and understand what's happening.
Seriously. Yeah. Yeah. It was a great time. The thing is that like, even though we missed some of those like highlights, some of those moments, we saw it all in the feeds. So, it was fantastic to watch in the feeds. I certainly don't mind that it was missing from the episodes because we got to watch it on the feeds. So, kudos to Big Brother for showing it on the feeds. So there we go. We get through the Marsha the Moose task. Now it's time to pick a renom. First up is Jace, and this is a little bit out of order. So the order that we saw, at least, because we did miss some of these conversations, in particular the last one, but first of all, the reason why Marty is suspicious that Kevin is close to Josh is that he caught Kevin and Josh having a conversation. I was really hoping that we would see that, just like a little flashback or something, because it was not on the feeds, but we did not. I understand it was a packed episode, but I want to know. But that's why. And so the strategy from Kevin and Helena was, we are going to make it seem like Kevin is more trustworthy because Kevin is not pitching for anybody in particular to go on the block. Kevin and Helena are just like, just please not me, essentially. But, you know, not pushing, not trying to convince Marty to do anything because Marty doesn't like being told what to do. They're going to let Jace walk into that trap. And they're going to make it seem like Jace is the one that's more likely to flip because she hates Kevin so much. And she's pushing Kevin so much. And so that's what the conversation with Helena was about, as you saw in the episode. That actually happened before the conversation with Jace, where she set Jace up to then come into the conversation with Marty, where Marty's like, I just want your word that you won't vote Kevin out. And Jace is like, yeah, but Kevin's going on the block, right? Which kind of helped set the stage a bit for the later conversation with Kevin.
Yes. And so we get that in the opposite order, but in the real order, Helena's going to say, he tells her about JC Lynn having the secret power, and she's reminding him about the showman's wanting to backdoor him, Helena is. And then she talks about how JC is only with Marty because of Gino. And then when JC comes in and says, like, I know you're protecting Gino, but I also need like your protection, it definitely puts them more as this pair. Even, I mean, like, I understand they're already a showmance, but it's the dynamic. She's really set up for this dynamic of falling into that trap of being like, yeah, you've protected the one person I care about. And so also me, though, to be over there in that grouping, that'd be great.
Yeah. And he even says, though,
you know, I'm not putting him up. There's no way, like, after everything that happened, like, that's not even an option. So.
It's not even an option. Not at all.
Not an option.
But Kevin has something to say. Now, this is the conversation that we missed on the feeds. As you can see, Kevin is dressed up in his sleepover outfit. The feeds were down for this. So we did not know to what extent Kevin was involved in flipping Marty into the gummy bear strategy. We knew that he had a conversation with Marty. We knew that he promised that he gave his word on his marriage, but we didn't know like how involved this was. This was incredible. I mean, this is everything that you want to see from somebody who thinks they might go on the block. It's like so often we just see people crumble in these situations, and Kevin completely rises to the occasion. He's like, what? That would really hurt me, Marty. Like, why would you put me up when you trust me so much? I trust you so much. Like, why are we doing this for them? Obviously, I would never turn on you. I will happily vote Josh out. And he says to us,
Marty is an emotional guy, and we've really bonded over being the only two married men in this house. The only issue is that I'm not actually married.
It's all a ploy. Like, all of this is fake. I think partly because it's fake, he's able to play exactly how he needs to here. And it's very clear that, you know, this was certainly teed up a bit earlier, but Kevin does the work here to flip Marty into going with a different strategy.
Yeah. It's like Kevin has this get out of jail free card. Kevin is one of the only people in this house. There's people who are, you know, fibbing about certain things, you know, Josh with his career and stuff. But Kevin's whole premise for like half of his, it's not exactly his personality, but half of the things that he's like using as bargaining chips are all fake. And so it's like, it doesn't matter if he gets caught, because he's like, yeah, but this was a game that I was like coming in as a different character. I was playing a character the whole time. It doesn't matter. And so when you compound that on like promises that the alliances are making together, he doesn't care. He's already lying about everything else.
It's fantastic, and the way that his diary rooms contrast with what we're seeing is so good. I wish that we had seen this on the feeds, because I would have been even more singing Kevin's praises on the round table last night, but it is what it is. Great stuff from Kevin. We head into the following morning, and Marty has decided he doesn't want to just put Kevin on the block. He wants to maintain group unity, and to do so, he has a strategy. He goes around to each person. Are you 100% locked in? Everybody says yes. He says, great. So here we go. I've got an idea. He whips out the gummy bucket.
Is this a bucket? It's like a little mini metal trash can.
That's not nearly as catchy as bucket.
Okay,
as gummy
great.
Bucket.
right.
No, it's not bucket. A gummy mini metal, uh-huh. mini metal trash can. It's a gummy bucket. He whips out the gummy bucket and he says, I've got three gummies in here. One is red, two are yellow. And the person that draws the red gummy will go on the block. Gino, I have three gummies in here because I don't want to make it seem like I'm turning on you. I'm going to give you the option. Do you want to include your gummy in this gummy draw? And Gino says,
sure, point.
Sure. Put it in.
Why? Why? I mean, thank you.
Yeah.
Because this was amazing, but why? And look, I like Gino. Gino seems like a nice guy, very caring about Kevin in this episode. Maybe just too kind for this game. But I think it's pretty clear. I mean, for JC Lynn, I'm honestly surprised that she doesn't jump up and just start saying, no, don't do it. But at the same time, that's like outing her allegiance within the alliance even more. So what can you do? But so bad. So bad.
It's so bad. And then the way they are able to edit the reveal as well, where they open up, you see Helena is yellow. And I love how they did this. They cut over to Jace looking in the direction of Gino, and you see Jace's face just go like, no. And we like swoop back to Gino holding the red one like, oh, it's and me.
Even before Gino holds the red gummy, before Gino even puts a gummy in, from the second that the gummies are brought up, Helena and Kevin are losing it. They're laughing. Yeah. They think this is great. They're like, huh. We thought it was a pretty much done deal that it would be Kevin. Now we've got a shot. It might be either one of them.
It's so good. It's so good. And Marty the whole time is saying,
you shouldn't be worried.
Shouldn't be worried.
You don't have to be scared.
You don't have to be scared.
Pick your feet up.
Yeah.
We've got the votes. No one's going to flip. I love the like swear pack they all had to make, where they had to go around and all say, we're in the group. We're going to stay strong together. We're definitely going to vote Josh out and we'll never turn on the five. And they have to go down the line and do it.
And then they go and do their picture. It's like,
Jace is glaring.
I love the freeze frame. Great work by the editors. And then we cap it off at the end with Kevin.
I have no problem backstabbing, manipulating, lying to your face. That's kind of the whole reason that I'm here.
So if you're going to serve me Gino on a platter, Marty, I'm going to take that shot. And just like that, we cut to black. Like, what an ending.
If this is the equivalent of like drawing rocks in Survivor, Gino deciding to put a gummy bear in for himself is like the giving up the immunity idol. I mean, it's not quite that bad because he's still 1 in 4, but so bad.
I mean, it's the exact same reasoning that people have done this in the past, right? It's why Jed gave up the veto. It's why Marcellus gave up the veto. It's why other people have given up immunity in the past. It's this notion of like, I'm going to be the good guy here, right? Like, I know this isn't like the smart thing to do necessarily, but I'm not going to be selfish. I'm going to be the good guy here, and I'm going to be good. I should still be good. And in, you know, I think if Gino has more time, he turns this down. But especially in the moment, the way that Marty presented it, he's just like, he's like, he's not that guy. He's never been that guy. He's not the guy that is going to openly be like, no, I'm going to be selfish in this moment. Like the dude's a firefighter. Like he, of course, like he is like, yeah, put my gummy in. I'm not going to be that guy. And then immediately after, he's like, what did I just do?
It's like, there's just such a big difference between the people like Kevin and Helena who are playing the game purely to play it and to, yes. and to do all of the interesting maneuvers they want to do, And then the people who build rules for themselves in the game. And it's not like Jace and Gino refuse to, you know, go against their word or whatever. Like, they were planning on potentially, you know, backdooring Marty in the previous week, but they were potentially going to backdoor Marty based on a betrayal that Marty had done to them. You know, it's like they need to have a reason, and then working within the reasons they give themselves and the rules they give themselves. And that really boxes you in gameplay wise. And the more you talk about the rules you want to follow, the more other people are going to hold you to those rules as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't give yourself rules.
Exactly. I mean, the Dr. Will showed us the template all the way back in season two. And yet we still get the Hardys, right? Like, in the game, all the time.
And it's nice to have fans because you're a quote unquote good person, even though they're mostly all good people. But man, isn't it more fun to have people at home changing their profile pictures to red gummy bears because of how exciting this move is?
Yeah. So that's it. I mean, that's the episode. It's such a good episode to see somebody like, because this is the thing. Big Brother Canada has been trying to manufacture an edit like this for so long. That even when they sometimes have it, they haven't even been able to recognize it, like with Johnny, the week that he stayed. So for them to be able to finally put together something in the way that it should be put together, because even like the top tier moments of Big Brother Canada, like the double eviction in Big Brother Canada 5, it's like they didn't really edit the show properly prior to that moment to watch the buildup of Ika turning Cindy on Netta, for that to like really, I mean, obviously it's a fantastic moment, but it could have been better in the editing if they had focused on the actual gameplay of what was happening. And so like to this day, you still get people who are like, you know, like, well, what did Ika do strategically? It's like, they didn't show enough of it. Obviously Ika was all over the screen, but they didn't know how to edit the strategic side of Ika. So for the edit to be able to finally like really land on Kevin as both a fantastic character who is making great TV, but also show what he's doing accurately, is so good. And I'm so glad that we finally have this. I feel like this is the true sort of pinnacle of what Big Brother Canada has been able to produce in terms of a TV show and edit. Again, obviously great moments before this, but I feel like from all angles, they're finally like hitting home what they need to do. And they're getting the content they need from this cast. And it's just, it's great stuff. It's great to see.
So obviously we didn't get to see all of it on the episode or the feeds, but like what percentage of Marty's decision to go to the gummy bears are you going to attribute to whatever Kevin said to him?
I think we have to give the majority of it to Kevin here. I was giving more of it to Helena while I was unsure about how the conversation went with Kevin and Marty. But given that Marty was still like, I am 100% putting Kevin on the block post his conversations with Jace and Helena. He had kind of been like, he got nudged a little bit, but then he got nudged back in the other direction from the task. And so when the feeds went down, he was like, 1,000% I'm putting Kevin on the block. And then we see this conversation. It's very clear that Kevin makes a huge dent in what Marty wants to do, to the point where I think the main thing that Kevin does is he makes it painful for Marty. He's like, for Marty to deliberately put Kevin on the block is painful. And so because of that, Marty has to come up with a way where he doesn't have to wear that pain. It's not his fault. It's the gummy bear's fault. So if it lands on Kevin anyway, then now you see that it was fair for everybody. And even if it lands on Gino, like he's fine with putting Gino up too. The only reason he didn't want to put Gino because he didn't want to make that choice and wear that. So Kevin, who was in a spot where it was like, sorry, bud, but you gotta go, not only managed to make it painful for Marty, but also managed to convince him that he was on board to take out Josh and that he could be trusted. And to this day, Marty feels like he's still got Kevin on board.
This is a strategy that I hope we see more of in Big Brother in the future of, and I don't know if Kevin specifically said this to Marty, but basically this idea of, if you know that someone is waffling on a decision, find a way to take the ownership away from them so that they don't have to feel as bad about it. So leaving something up to chance and in some way like this, I mean, I don't necessarily feel like you need to draw Gumbara out of the bucket, but that, hey, if it works, it works. But find a way to convince someone, not necessarily to push them into one other firm direction and one other specific person, but just to give yourself a fighting chance. Try to take away the ownership from them so they don't have to feel as bad about it. I really like that idea. I hope that people can come up with other ways to use that, because I think that there's probably a lot of play there that we haven't seen as much of.
Yes. All right. Well, great episode of the show. So happy to be watching this season. It felt like it might start being like, all right, it was a great first, you know, half or so, but we're getting into BB20 territory or like something else like that. Like, it's going to start kind of going down from here, but it has really only risen. I mean, this is such a great week of television. Fantastic stuff. So happy to be covering it. And things are still going on the feeds. We're not going to do a full spoiler segment here, because you can listen to this morning's update. You can listen to tomorrow's update, where I will go over everything that happened today. Still some top tier gameplay happening just today. Going on some excellent stuff happening, it's again way too much to cover here tonight. So I highly recommend tuning in tomorrow morning to see what Kevin and Lena have been up to lately, because they are still killing it. But for now, that is about what we've got. Mary, anything else you wanted to bring up?
No, just, you know, like you said, it's been so much fun watching this season. Thank you so much, Big Brother Canada editors. Thank you, players, for all that you're doing. Thank you to the competitions for having some randomness and bringing back some classics. So thank you all.
100 is my back. 100 is my back.
Oh! And someone reach out to Taryn, someone who likes to make mashup songs, because I need this to happen.
All right.
I've never seen him laugh as much as when he's playing these sound clips.
They're just too good. Okay. All right. That's what we have for you tonight. Thank you so much for joining us here. I mean, spread the word about this season. People have to be watching this stuff. It's so good. Make sure you tune in again tomorrow morning. Here's the schedule for tomorrow. Update in the morning at 11 a.m. Eastern. Then a Stockwatch stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Talking about the Stockwatch leading into the triple should be an interesting one. Then live on Twitch again to watch the triple eviction with all of you. It's going to be a wild ride, so make sure you tune in and see, you know, watch it with a crowd. And then, of course, after the triple eviction, we will be back here live on Rob's podcast to recap everything that goes down. And then on Friday, I will be talking to the three people evicted in the triple eviction. So stay tuned for that exit interview as well. So keep up with all of that. Find me over on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Check out the Taryn Show. And Mary, what have you got going on?
Yeah, you can follow me everywhere at Frail Mary and check out what I'm doing. Right now, I'm about to talk about Survivor Stockwatch stuff, so feel free to check that out.
Check out the Survivor Stockwatch, about to be recorded right after this ends.
Yeah, right after this. Definitely go back and check out the Ultimatum coverage on Rob's podcast. And, you know, it's never too late to watch that show. My brother won't watch Big Brother Canada, but he watched that and called me about it for an hour, so clearly there's a lot to talk about. And yeah, everything else, just, you know, check out Kowski Cast. That's Cow with K.
All right, well, thank you all so much for joining us here today, tonight, whenever you're watching this, and we will see you all next time.